Brilliant from Kennedy. Couldn't resist the shot. That's gone in off the defender.
The chairman, you lose your little player. And it's in. It's a goal from Gilmour. Jimmy Gilmour has scored for Falkirk.
Finnegan's cross. Stephen Thompson. Falkirk have the lead after a quarter of an hour.
McKenzie slips. It goes straight to McGuffey. McGuffey shoots from his own half. And that is incredible.
He's taking them all on here. Catch him if you can. You can't. That is amazing. That is phenomenal. A touch of individual inspiration from Kevin McAllister.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Well, that was the first big weekend of the summer. All started on Friday night with Falkirk Daft live at Behind the Wall. And then on Saturday, we became invincible. If you get that wee reference, a wee Arab strap reference for you all there, welcome along to Falkirk Daft. You can hear by my voice, it's been a hell of a weekend. I'm your host, John McInally. I'm delighted, I'm so happy. I'm joined by my friend, the Ginger God of Pod, the one-man band in the main stand, the lover of the prawn sandwich. It is Ross Wayne. How you doing, Ross?
Good evening, sir. I am tired. I am happy. I am emotional. It's been a roller coaster of 48 hours. But as you mentioned, I am here. I'm delighted to be here as well. And I'm just so proud of you for Friday night and smashing it out of the park. Just an amazing night. I saw the videos, I saw the pictures, I've seen everybody's been talking about it. So, just amazingly proud of you, buddy.
Yeah, unfortunately, you obviously couldn't make it up for you had a family emergency. So, gutted that you went alongside me, but we struggled through the night at the end.
With some helpers as well.
So, I have to say a big thank you to Lewis Connolly. You'll know him from Falkirk TV. He's been on this podcast, helped me out in the past. Lewis stepped in with the Q&A with Super Sam McGivern. Brilliant as always, Super Sam. Great stuff. Obviously, talked about the Airdrie hat trick. And Kitman Chris McGill, who's been on the podcast, an absolute superstar.
Big Time, I think his nickname is now, isn't it?
Big Time Chris McGill. So Chris was on stage giving us an insight into kind of behind the scenes and what was happening during the season. It was brilliant to have him on along with Super Sam. And then, I don't know why, I asked you and Cameron to come and join me on stage to help me out, chatting to Tom and Cole. And again, what a credit to the club those two boys are, and what a credit to their family. They're just lovely, lovely guys. Yeah. You know, because sat and talked for ages. Cole was in fine form, sinking a couple of Guinnesses. As you would have noticed yesterday, Tom was on the bench, but He did tell us on the Friday night, he said, I'm going to be on the bench, don't get too excited. Him and Hend obviously on the bench, but both totally injured, but they didn't have to do the John Terry if they were on the bench, do you know what I mean?
So
we saw that Cole did do that, and we obviously asked him that on the night, and we said, you're going to do the John Terry.
He had to do it.
It was a brilliant night, and you know, the great kicker is we all raised over £1,000 for Teenage Cancer Trust and a wee girl called Leah, who has been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and is going through chemo at the moment. So raised over £1,000, just going to split between Teenage Cancer Trust and her family as well to help them with the back and forth to the week.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. And from what obviously what we talked about in advance of it, we'll be able to get like an armband added in as well, and an extra shirt towards
shout out to Graham Carpus as well, who came for the club, who provided us with a Falkirk Daft one away strip, which is absolutely brilliant, which we were able to auction off as well. So thank you for everyone that came along. It was a great night. I stupidly went for one back at Big Scott Cunningham's house. Jack, who picked up his winner's medal yesterday, who's part of the backroom staff as well, end up in there till 3:30 at night drinking whiskey with Scott. So that was part one of the weekend, and it was great. And I have to say, the best thing of the night for me was we're doing the Q&A, Ross, and Will Adam got the mic. I thought, oh no, here we go. And I've got something to say for you, Tom. And he started a song because it's Tom Lang, You Are Beautiful. Dominic, you are beautiful. And it has been going through my head all weekend. Tom Lang, you are beautiful indeed. Tom,
I can imagine you've been singing that to Tom Lang.
I saw a picture
that came in quite late last night of you mooning over Mr. Lang and behind the wall.
Me and Tom are now official friends. It was when he came on stage, I obviously hugged him. It was one of those ones, it went on a bit too long.
Yeah.
I mean, I got awkward.
From his side.
From his side. I was like, I'm not letting you go, Tom. And the first question, of course, to Tom on the night was, what do you look for in a man? So, you know, and then women, football player. So Tom was in good form.
Do you know, John C., going back to what you said a few minutes ago about the how good the boys are, I know you were, I think you, from what you said yesterday and from the messages I got as well, obviously you'd said to the crowd why I wasn't there with my mum and stuff. And in fairly, like, the guys dropped me a really nice message on Friday night and then a call message Saturday morning as well. So absolutely amazing. First class. Not just them, by the way, Chris McGill, he dropped a message. And in fact, it must have been about half the crowd dropped a message on Friday night. And it was just a massive thank you to everybody.
You're missed, mate. But these, you know, when things like that happen in life, family always comes first. But we got through it. Don't worry, there'll be more opportunities because I've already got in my head the next plan for Falkirk Daft Live. And then thanks to Brian, all his help on helping us put on. Apparently, that's the busiest upstairs been since Ash played there. So there we go, Ross. We can put ourselves in the same bracket as Ash now.
He needs to have some sort of celebrity wall. Not that we're a celebrity, but in terms of like the attend, you know, like record attendances.
Listen, thanks very much for coming along. And what a day. That was part one of the weekend. Then part two, we picked up where we left off yesterday. I was in Elliot's from 12, having a few drinks in there. I didn't get involved in the march to stadium, but that looked phenomenal, by the way.
I saw the videos coming through. Like, I was obviously, I just went straight to the stadium because I'd been at the hospital, went straight to the stadium, and then parked up. And in the distance, you know how you can just hear a drum singing, and then you saw the glow of, because I parked at the college, you saw the glow of the flares and the smoke bombs from Ladies' Mill coming down the road. So I just looked absolutely phenomenal. It really did. Yeah. Fair play to them all.
Brilliant. Well done, boys. And, you know, we'll talk about the match in a bit, but the tifo at the start looked fantastic as well.
That's the best ever. I think that's, like, they've done an awful lot of good things so far, like an amazing thing so far. But for me, that was the best. So, and I'll say so far because they've just got started.
So well done to all the ultras, absolutely first class as ever. So game happened. We'll get talk about the game in a bit. But yeah, then afterwards, back to Elliot's. Then high spirits of all places. I was in high spirits, and then behind the wall where I think there was a thing going on at the Manakee, which was obviously for our friends and family of the club. I stayed behind the wall, and then Tom came down, so I was talking to Tom again, trying to help him find his jacket. He'd lost his jacket somewhere. He's like, John, you need to help me. And he lost my jacket. It's got everything in it. So I was like, right, okay, Tom, don't worry. Well, someone will have it. We'll look around for it.
And did you get it? Did you manage to find it?
I think he found it in the end. I was speaking to Tom's dad as well. I was speaking to Tom's dad because I was standing at the end of the game, and there's this guy waving to me. And I'm like, who's that? And I was like, pointing to me, you're waving to me, because that way it's like, it could be someone back.
I'm
Tom's dad. I'm like, your answer is Tom.
You should have said to him, future father-in-law.
So there's a picture somewhere, I don't know who took it, I think it was Tom's dad actually took it, of me, Tom, and quite awkwardly his girlfriend as well, and Tom's dad. It was... So I went up behind the wall afterwards. I was up dancing about it. It was an absolute rammy. Every pub in Falkirk, it was Elliot's, High Spirits, and behind the wall was jumping. Alfie was back there. Aiden was back there. It was a brilliant, brilliant night. And Brian had obviously learnt his lesson and cleared out all the tables. So
man, he's got a bit.
So that it was what a night, what a weekend. We'll talk about the game just in a minute. But we've got and we'll be doing that actually, in fact, with our sponsors, the Falkirk Football Fans in Training. Again, speaking to Ian, Mark and Ali, yes, they saw them in Iowa after the game, had a great track with them. So they're coming on to review the Iowa game. And obviously they're part behind the Lava Cup, which happened in the Falkirk Stadium, 25th of May. The opening ceremony taking place at 11:30 with game kicking around 12. Get yourself along there because all the money is going to go to Strathcairn Hospice and FDAMH, which is a mental health charity. If you want to get involved in the Falkirk Football Fans and Training, contact Doogie, Mark, or Ian. They will get you sorted. The links are below if you want to get involved. Remember, Lava Cup is a tournament for over 40s, which helps with improve fitness and mental health well-being, creating friendships and memories. Get involved with the Falkirk Football Fans and Training. They're a great bunch of guys. I keep mocking them. We're going to be playing them in a game at the Falkirk Stadium on the 1st of June. And apparently, I've heard rumours now, we'll get confirmed, they've roped in Crunchy to play for them. So I'm actually not playing left back.
No, listen, I know I said, obviously, as we know, I briefly popped up to the Graham last night to say hiya, and we saw them. And I remind them, listen, I'm a Tamford Hill boy at heart, which is practically Caelan. I love a word with Crunchy and he'll turn.
That would be good. But yeah, all the links for the Lava Cup and Football Fans Training are below. Right, let's get into some club news before we get into the game. And the big news this week is Finn Yeats has signed a contract extension. We've been waiting for this to happen. Absolutely delighted. 2-year deals that's going to keep him here until 2026, Ross.
Aye, it was the perfect bit of news that the fans could have got on Friday. Honestly, just we, as you said, John, we've been waiting for so long for that confirmation. We knew it. We knew he wanted to sign. We knew the club wanted him to sign, and it was just sort of crossing the T's and dotting the I's, I suppose, from the agent's perspective and the club's perspective. So I'm so happy that they've got that done. Finn is going to be another huge player for us next season, as he has been the last two. Yeah. And I'm absolutely delighted for him. I loved how they broke the story as well. Did you see they put that little clip from
the intros? Brilliant. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant. And Finn, like, you know, you see him. I think he'll be a Scotland under 21 cap next season.
Listen, the higher he goes, the more likely that's looking. And I completely agree with you. There'll be a lot of exposure on him next year because we'll have more games on, no offence to BBC Alba, but there'll be more exposure on BBC Scotland for the games as well. Plus, we'll probably have more than like the Falkirk Herald there from a press perspective. So, yeah, he's going to get far, far more exposure to that. And his performance, he's certainly merited it this year. I remember speaking to him behind the wall that night after Montrose, and
you mind that, do you?
I did. It was quite late on, but I remember him, like, honestly, he's absolutely loving life at the club. He's enjoying what he's doing. Yeah. He probably would, in an ideal world, be playing a midfield, right? But he's playing first team football at whatever. Like, what is it? Is he still 18 or 19?
18.
It's just like, come on, it's the dream, isn't it, of any young footballer. And he's going to be playing in stadiums next year with 5,000-7,000 in there. He'll be buzzing.
Yeah, absolutely. Pray for Finn in Ibiza, I would say, as well, because all the team are going to Ibiza. Pray for Finn, because I think he's going to be... with some of the boys that are going there, I think Finn might be in a bit of trouble there. We're obviously still waiting on news for the rest, and I'm sure that'll come out as the weeks progress now about players that will be leaving. I have heard strong rumours, which I hope doesn't happen, that Sean Mackey might be leaving, which I think, again, on performances over the last sort of 10 games, he's been outstanding. So I would think he'd be a big loss if he does go. It looks like Ola. It was great to see Ola on the park and everything.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like Ola, you know, if he's been put on, you suspect that Ola might be one that might go, which is a shame because I think there's a good player in Ola a while. And the team's played so well. The likes of him, and you look at Alfie, put him in the same bracket. I mean, we know Alfie's got a season to go, but, you know, like, Ola's probably going to go with Jordan Allen. We don't know what the situation will be here. He's obviously contracted for another year. Stephen McGinn, he hasn't officially said it yet, but
It's a strong suggestion, though, isn't it? Both from John and the man himself at the recognition night. His kind of speech kind of gave you the flavour that he was going to be moving on, didn't he? So
Which is, again, you see when we talked about it at the back night at the behind the wall, is the importance of that man in that dressing room and the importance of that man to the team. And I think any interview with the players, you always hear he's highlighted time and time again. It's always McGinn. And, you know, if he is moving on, absolutely credit to him and the job he's done at the club, not just on the field, but off the field as well. You know, he arrived at his club, and I remember seeing his first few games in a Falkirk jersey and just going, what an absolute Rolls Royce this boy is. Unbelievable. Yeah. I'm sure he's brought in the likes of Brad, Dylan, all these boys at midfielders. I'm sure he's brought them on leaps and bounds as well. So I think you would love, in an ideal world, that he would stay on as a coach. But we know he's doing stuff at St Mirren, and, you know, he's an absolute legend over that way as well. So, well done. Listen, if Stephen moves on, you know, fair credit to him. He's
been
an absolute credit to that Falkirk badge and that captain's armband. So thank you, Stephen. If that's the last time we're going to see you in a Falkirk jersey. Falkirk women, it's not looking good. We're currently recording Sunday afternoon, and they're currently getting beaten 7-0 off Stenny. So they're still going up, but that would have, you know, got them the title today if they was able to beat Stenny. So gutted for the girls. But listen, they're still going to go. They're going up like the men's team. So well done, girls, and just gutted for you.
It's a sore scoreline, John. But how good was that standing ovation that they got at halftime? Yesterday, that was amazing to see them going around 7,500 people. Getting the recognition that they deserve, and they'll be feeling sore after this one today. But they have got promotion; they're going to be moving on.
Exactly. So well done to the women. The champion strips have sold out. Absolutely no surprise to anyone. The limited edition. You weren't going for one, were you, Ross?
No, I didn't. It was really nice to see the players in them yesterday as well. The only thing I would have, and this is just my kit head on, it maybe wouldn't have been allowed, but the only thing that would even made that shirt strip better off yesterday is if they'd used gold
I was actually thinking the exact same thing as well, but I wonder if that there's constraints against that. You know, Chris McGill will be able to tell us. We'll ask Chris will be able. But 300 champion strips sell out, and we're absolutely rinsing the merch, because there's now going to be a limited release of Invincible strips. Now that is something I can get on board with. I didn't get the champions one, but I think I might be in the queue for that Invincible talk.
You think? See, I'm of a similar opinion, because, like, not to downplay the champions thing, because obviously we are so delighted that we've done it, but we won't be the only champions of League One or the Championship or Premier League ever. But Invincibles, listen, we know, we've talked about this to death. There's how often does this happen? It very rarely happens. So
if you don't get a strip, there's plenty more of merch. Check out the Greaves Invincible range, which is coming, by the way. So there's a couple of them. I like a wee mug.
A bar runner as well.
That's coming very soon. So keep your eye on the Greaves website for that sort of stuff. And of course, the season tickets went on sale this week. And I owe you a bunch of money for that, Ross, because I don't know how we ended up, but Ross ended up buying my season ticket last year and is in control of the renewal, so I need to send a bunch of money.
I think it was when we moved stand a couple of years ago, from memory, I remember being in the shop doing it, because I couldn't do it online, and she said, what's John's email address? I went, no idea, I'll just give you mine. So that's why you're now under you're under my account. So we'll get it sorted. So we go again, as they say.
We go again. And I think there's been a huge surge on season ticket renewals this week as well. Yeah. So, and there's obviously the additional, we spoke about it in the podcast, the 60 quid that you can put on top, which goes into the playing budget. So, and is that's adjustable. That's a sliding you can put our how much
you can, you can put a fiver extra on if you want to. You can do a donation, yep. So it doesn't have to be 60. For those that are feeling flush, could be even 600. It all goes towards John McGlynn's budget for next season. And as we said either last week or the week before, I don't think we said this to his face, but like, you just trust the man with the money now, don't we? Like, not that we didn't trust him before, but like, he's not made a bad signing. That, like, if you think to last summer, there's not a single player that hasn't done us a turn. Like, they've come on and done a job. They really have.
Yeah. And talking of which, by the way, strong rumours, and it's all over, that the club haven't confirmed yet, but Michael McKenna, Arbroath, is going to be signing for Falkirk. Now, he's a part-time player at the moment, but my understanding is that he's been looking to go full-time for some time. Right. I think he's 31. But he was one of the top scorers in the championship when Arbroath had that push. And I remember watching this boy, and he's a bit of a player, more of an attacking midfielder.
Yeah.
But obviously, potentially in Stephen McGinn's absence, brings in, you know, a whole bunch of experience. I actually just checked, he's 33. So whether he comes in as a kind of part-time player or just for the experience, or whether that, you know, this is his final kick of the ball, you know, maybe because I believe it's the deal that I saw muted was a year with a potential extension of a year.
No.
Well, he's been brought, be interesting to see, but certainly, you know, he's a legend up at Gayfield, you know, and,
yeah,
you know, could be something for us.
I think this will be a really good signing. And as I've just said, I trust John McGlynn. I trust him to bring the right type of character, the right type of player to what the team needs. He does have experience, as you've said. He knows some of the players really well already. So Dylan Tate, he's played with. Big Hendo, he's played with as well. I think there might have been one other player that he's particularly friendly with. So he knows boys in the dressing room too. So yeah, I saw that yesterday. Was it Kenny?
Kenny McIntyre, isn't it, the BBC?
Kenny Crawford.
Kenny Crawford, yeah.
Yeah, he had tweeted out to say that he anticipates this to be announced. The only other name I've heard over the weekend, John, and it is not from any credible media outlet at all.
Is it from Smudger, perchance? No?
No, it's not. No. I usually take Smudger's rumours with a pinch of salt. No, it was. I heard the name, like, Paul Hanlon of Hibs was mentioned.
Really?
Centre-half. So, again, I don't know if there's any legs in it, but that was the name over the weekend that I heard.
That would be, again, he scored last weekend for Hibs as well, and obviously he's been there. Paul Hanlon's been at Hibs. God, he's up there with Lewis Stevenson, I think, in terms of years he's been. He'd certainly be a good sign. And then obviously it would be good if Dylan Tate and Ethan Ross were to sign on as well.
What a strong squad that would be. We've got a strong squad anyway, right? But this is just...
So if you're looking at McKenna, Hanlon, and then you need a goalkeeper, and if you add Tate and Ross to that, that's your squad. Because I was talking about this yesterday. I think there's only going to be two or three signings. He's got the squad there, you know, the Invincibles, and that's a championship level squad. You know what I mean? So I think just a couple of additions, a bit of experience put in there, and we'll be flying for next season. Fingers crossed. So let's get talking about the game, and I cannot wait to talk about this game. And we'll do it in the company of our sponsors. We thank them every week. It is Mark, Diggy and Ian from the Falkirk Football Fans and Training, and they have champagne, guys. Look at that. Here's to the Invincibles, boys.
Invincibles.
Love it.
Absolutely love it. I love it. Pair of the dog, is it, gentlemen?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think it's the only solution just to keep going. I'm feeling after Friday night, after last night. Oh, Jesus! What a weekend it's been. Saw you gents obviously in Elliot's yesterday as well, post game. And of shock horror, you were in hospitality yesterday.
That's right. Something back into the cup.
You're in good company with Ross. You're absolutely fine. Don't you worry about that. Don't apologise for anything.
Listen, how many times is that you've done hospitality this season then?
I think I've used my season ticket four times.
Right, so, there we go, John. I am.
Meet us now at the door. He doesn't just walk with me going way upstairs now.
Superb, superb. Gents, thank you so much for coming on. You know, we usually we've done this with you before, so I'm not going to ask who your favourite players are. I'm going to ask you guys one by one who's been your player of the season and your goal of the season. Ian, let's start off with you, because we did the sit behind the wall, which I forgot to mention actually, that our inaugural Falkirk Daft player of the year went to Captain Call, and the goal of the season went to big, sexy Tom Lang. Tom Lang, you are beautiful. So that was that was our inaugural Falkirk Daft Awards. Ian, for you, give us your goal of the season.
My goal of the season is still Callum Morrison against Montrose. Just absolute piece and an important goal.
And what about your player?
Player of the season, that's a bit harder. I'd feel towards Aiden Nisbet, just for his work rate. He's come on leaps and bounds this season, and just keeps going. And has scored a number of important goals as well.
Absolutely. Diggy, what about you? Go and player of the season.
I've not been at many games, I've done a wee bit off, but it was a... I think the two centre half at Lang and Collins and their goals split between them, because it's not usually a centre half hits it for a 20-25 yard volleying with the control and composure. So I'm kind of split with them. And as for the player of the year, well, I think our unsung hero, Mentos Aliyah Leo McCann, summed one up last minute of the game, injury time, and he still puts his body on the line. That just shows the effort it goes in for these guys. And any time we've been watching the game, Liam McCann, the effort for that guy's immense. But special mention to Austin Wallerson, Brad Spencer, and Aiden Nesbitt.
Yeah. And finally, Mark, what are you going for? Go and player.
You know, my goal of the season was the Leeds United-esque. Every player touched the ball before. Was it Calvin Miller? Pinged one in for Ross McKeever, diving header.
Is that Stirling Albion?
I think that game summed up what our team has been this season. Every single one of them was involved in that goal.
Yeah.
And that for me, I think, kind of nicks it. It's dead easy at fluke a wee top corner drive.
Brilliant. We'll find out on the 1st of June when we play you guys. I've actually got Cole's boots, and I've told you yesterday I'm going to be wearing them on the day, and I'm going to be recreating that moment that Cole did. I will say,
with the amount of legends was in that hospitality yesterday, we were working hard.
I've heard the check. Checkbook was it, so we'll wait and see what happens on the day. Let's then talk about yesterday's game. Wow, where do you start with it? Let's start with the team. A couple of changes. Obviously, we knew that Hendel was injured. Rumours had been floating around Falkirk all week. In fact, I think a lot of people got some pictures at the Heritage Sponsor Day when they were picking up the strips of Ross McKeever playing at centre half, and that's what happened as Gary Oliver came in to replace McKeever up front. Ross went back to centre half, and Stephen McGinn playing his final game in a Falkirk top into midfield for Dylan Tate. Bit of a strange one. I wasn't expecting the McGinn one, but I'm guessing, Ross, do you think it was... I don't think McGinn would do sentimentality, so I wonder if it's been a tactical thing there.
Could well be, yeah, just a bit of extra dig protecting the centre-backs, maybe.
Yeah,
that's where my head was at. Yeah, just bring him in. He's an experienced guy. He wasn't pushing too far forward in that first half either. He was kind of sitting back, even just that little bit.
Yeah, a lot of good defensive work, Stephen, actually. Oh,
massive. Yeah. He mopped up a lot yesterday, guys, didn't he?
He did.
I was kind of expecting McGinn to actually be playing as an old-fashioned sweeper. He should be playing in front of the back too.
Yeah, oh, by the way, I love a sweeper. Love a sweeper. Remember when Scott McKenzie moved back to sweeper?
Excellent.
Loved that.
Neil Purdy and all the guys.
Matthias Samar, Lothar Matthäus, Ruud Gullit. There's another couple of... You don't get... Whatever happened to the sweeper? I loved him. You know, just pinging ball. Oh, I loved a sweeper. Matthias Sammer's point. Anyway, I'm divulging into sweeper talk. I think you're probably right. I think he would have played a part at some point in the game.
Yeah.
Just because of what it was. But yeah, I guess starting, you know, and giving the protection. But I guess what we'll get to it when we're going at half time, the change gets made just because we need to go out and try and get a goal back. So. It was good to see Stephen that, you know, starting, and you know, it was good to see him. And I mean, it was a great atmosphere. You went into the stadium, and I was in half an hour early. Usually, I'm literally on the whistle while I'm turning up, but it was a great atmosphere. How was it in hospitality, boys?
Oh, it was good. It was buzzing. It was exceptional. Actually, it's good to see all the old players there as well, Bomber and John here as well. So it was cracking.
Oh, brilliant. Was Bomber there? Fantastic. I think he was over. Well,
strange, to be honest, in hospitality, John, because about 15, 20 minutes before the game kicked off, we downed our drinks and left and sat in this place.
That's what I
mentioned. Another 2 drinks.
No, it was special, and the tifo at the start. We talked about that earlier on. Was incredible from the young team.
Yeah, I think a special mention to the ultras. The unofficial walk, we had a great view as we went out there. There's actually a lot of hospitality moved to the top of the stairs, so you can actually watch it coming down. The road's been closed. Just be a couple of pals having to walk down the road together. Yeah. It was a fantastic scene to see it all coming down. It was great.
We were talking about this just before you came on as well, and I had parked up really early because I'd left the hospital, came parked up at the college, and it was like 1:45, so like really, really early. And then you could hear, you know, it was like a gala day. You could hear the singing, and then the smoke for the flares and the smoke box and stuff. It was just an absolute brilliant sight. And then we were, myself and my father-in-law, we were in the queue to get in. When they were just got to the stadium, and it was really weird. I don't know if you guys saw this as well. They got to almost the bricks where the bricks pods are, and then they all just started running because they were obviously thinking, "I need to get a good space in the."
To see him come down past the college, walking through up the roadworks, and walking in to turn into the stadium, was cracking. All well behaved, great atmosphere.
Yeah, no, it was great, and obviously they sang their hearts throughout the game as well, and they really kept the team going. And we had to. I mean, we really had to dig that one out yesterday, let me tell you, like we have done over the last couple of weeks. But as we said, when we got the trophy over the line, and then it was all about invincibility, I'll take 6 draws right now. You know, the team over the last couple of weeks have had to fight tooth and nail for those between injuries and, you know, we saw what happened in defence. In fairness to Ross McKeever, I don't know what you guys thought, but I thought he did
really well.
Probably at fault for the second goal, but we'll talk about that in a minute. But when a striker goes back and is asked to do that job, you know, he was composed, he played very well out of defence, you know, and Sean Matheson did keep talking him through the game, so he did really, really well. Game itself, I mean, I thought we're getting beat today. And do you know why? Because the players' kids were on the park before it. You do that after the game, and we played champions prior to the game, and I was like, no, you don't do that. You wait till the game, and I was like, oh, no, we're going to get beat. You know what I'm like?
I think it was very strange.
We have the champions always comes after the game. Oh, for goodness sake. So I don't know who was DJing last yesterday. It was Dave Mack. Have words with yourself. We had a champions always after the game. Right, it's okay. All the blame would have been going to Dave Mack if we got beat.
I can't believe you've just dug out a fellow DJ. Is there not like a DJ like the keepers?
No,
I totally can believe he's
taking the stop on. It's flagged off of the goalkeepers union. Take it, there's no such thing the DJing.
No. Not at all.
Dougie, what is your top actually? Is that a keeper's top?
It's all posters.
That's a belt, by the way, dude.
I love that shirt. That's a fantastic shirt.
I'll be honest with you, it's stinking.
I've got a lot of them remade for when Volks came up to start the Soccer Sixes.
Right.
So we've actually got a lot of them remade. We were like 5 year old. We've got in mind we're all 40s, 50s, 60s. We were 5 year olds on Christmas morning walking out with a full spall poster strip on.
Class. Love it. From an hour perspective as well, it was they actually rested. They've got their playoff game obviously coming up against so they'd rested. You saw Bobby Wales. I was actually hoping that Bobby Wales was playing yesterday because I thought these guys will be better against a mobile striker than they will against Connor Salmon. And Salmon, as we saw, caused all sorts of problems, as suspected. And the boy Taylor Stephen as well wasn't playing, which I was delighted with, actually. And Andy Gray, I was like, Andy Graham was playing. And I was just like, I went, is that Andy Graham playing? And it's like, I was like, Jesus, 40-year-old, and he's in there in the middle of the defence.
I thought he was a keeper with five.
I did. So plenty of chances as we opened the game. I mean, like, I was surprised how many. Well, I wasn't surprised at how many chances we kept, but I was just surprised none of them went in. What did you make of the first part of the game, Ross?
Yeah, no, just as you've said, John, it was a typical Bairns start this year. We were all over them. I think the team fed off the energy and the intensity for the crowd, because the crowd were up for it as we should be. And what a difference it was having like both ends
Alaba
were cheeky again with the toss of the coin. Obviously they must have won the toss, so they thought we'll be cheeky and we'll switch it up, but didn't make any difference really. But yeah, it was really intense. But as you said, we had a good few chances. The shock was we didn't put any of them away. There were a couple that fell to Gary Oliver that I think if Ross McKeever had been there, they might have went in.
We kind of needed two Ross McKeevers yesterday, I think, maybe.
Yeah.
One up front, one at the back.
Definitely.
Also, the Oliver keeper played well, but he never made any real good saves. Everything seemed to come straight to him.
Yeah.
He was always in the right place at the right time, because I don't think he's a good always keeper, is he?
It's like he was a magnet in the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the biggest chance in that first part before Al actually scored was when Morrison and Miller played that wee combination and Miller went through, and like he probably got his shot off a little too late. It just went straight, like you said, just went straight into the keeper's hand. But I just felt it was coming, and then 28 minutes, you know, it was it's the kind of goal which you would expect from Alwa, especially when a Connor Salmon Alwa. And again, don't want to dig out players, but Stephen McGinn kind of loses the header against Devine at the back post, and there's Connor Salmon just standing there, and he just has to knock
it out. He's not going to miss from a foot out, is he? Nah.
No, but
he tried.
He almost did miss. I think the header went in off the post. It looked like it went in off the post. But at that point I'm going, that's just Connor. That's what Connor Sam's going to be.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, is there anyone you can dig out? I think Steve McGinn could have done better, Ross, but anything else?
Do you know, it's hard to criticise because it was a makeshift. Obviously, Stephen McGinn was in there as well. If I'm being really brutally honest, I felt we didn't stop the crosses well enough. We should have done more to protect the central of the defence. And it's not a dig out Leon or Finn at all, but I don't think we worked hard enough to stop the crosses, because let's face it, we knew that's exactly what they were going to do.
Absolutely. I think that the centre back pairing suffered a wee bit because it's just unusual positions for him to be in. Mm. So especially there at the second goal as well, that there was like we weren't used to being in that position, and that's what we just suffered a little bit with that.
Yeah, a couple of chances for Nesbitt as well. Had a shot from 20 yards which went wide. There was that little flick when Morrison crossed. The amount of crosses that Callum Morrison was getting into that box yesterday was unbelievable. It was always seemed to be a cap going down the right, and Callum Morrison crossed in. He had that Nesbitt had that little flick, which the you know the goalie read quite well and picked it up. And then Aloha go and score again. You're just like, oh no! And again, as expected, Connor Salmon ball came over again. I think you're right, Ross. There wasn't. You know, charging, you know, stopping those crosses from coming in. Spencer, in this occasion, didn't shut down the cross quick enough. And then Big Ross misses the header. Rather than sticking on Salmon, he thought he'll come and get, misses the header. Again, Connor Salmon's left on his own, and Connor Salmon, Connor Salmon things, and just heads him past Nicky, who had no chance for that.
No.
So, there we are. 2-0 down. At what point, what are you boys feeling at that point?
Oh,
I felt it was time to go for a pee, to be honest.
To be fair, someone in the row before us in the stand shouted out, looking at the BBC app, we were 70% possession, 24 shots on target, and 2-0 down.
It's insane, isn't it? When you felt, how the hell has this got to this stage? But then, John, I know you're going to bring it up this thing, but like we deserved the goal back. We really did.
Absolutely. I mean, it was, again, Aidan Nesbitt, you know, we don't talk about Aidan Nesbitt. And again, like in this season, he's been so unlucky not to win Player of the Year awards, because see over the last, I think the last, since we've won the championship, and just the whole season, but see certainly since we've won the championship, Aidan Nesbitt's just been a bit of a man of the match, just about every single
year. He has.
He's been absolutely outstanding. And again, like the goal, which he's added, I mean, that's him 11 goals for the season now, Aidan.
11, yeah.
To get that from midfield is fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, the Spencer, again, was pulling strings left, right, and centre yesterday. Found him in the box. You know, a couple of lucky bounces off Hetherington and Andy Graham, and he's, you know, fires it past the goalkeeper into the roof of the net, and the keeper had absolutely no chance with it. Good goal, and like you said, Ross, we needed that. We needed that going into half-time, because it changes the complexion of the game, doesn't it?
Did you hear that roar when the ref blew half-time as well? There was like this huge roar in the stadium that was like, it was a final message to the players before they go in, right, one, we can do this. And it's small changes like that that I've absolutely loved with the atmosphere this year.
And, you know, the change gets made. We talked about that. Dylan Tate comes on for the second half. I'm guessing, I don't know if it was an injury thing to McGinn, or just like we said earlier, that we were chasing the game and had to come out and get that goal to become invincible. And we just about equalised a big, big chance when Finn Yeats sent over a delicious ball into the box, and Gary Oliver, I don't know what he was, if he'd just taken his eyes off it, if he closed his eyes, but the header, he's unmarked at the back post there, and he just needs to pop it in, and then it's, but he knocks it into the ground, and it was a strange one for us.
Yeah, I don't know whether he expected the Aloha boy to get flick on it, or he didn't expect it to come.
Yeah.
Come that quickly, but
maybe a timing thing, Mark. He's maybe just jumped either too late or too
early. Too early.
Gary, that was a big, big chance that. And then Sean Mackey almost heads past Nicky. That, my heart was in my mouth at that point. But
Mackey knew what he was doing.
He did. I'm sure he did. I was like, Jesus God. In terms of our chances, that was as good as it got for them in the second half. They had that free kick, which they fired straight at Nicky, but you know, it was just that push, and you could just hear the atmosphere and the whole stadium getting tenser and tenser as the game
came.
It was like, oh, and it was like Leon when he hit it straight at the goalkeeper with outside his left boot. Sean Mackey's bicycle kick.
Your time to actually take a touch, bring it down. Is that, we actually thought he was 5 foot offside, but he wasn't. It's a guy, there's an Alloa guy on the line.
Yeah. Oh, it was wow. you would have cancelled every goal of the season competition if Sean went in, by the way. It was an incredible effort. Absolutely unbelievable for the big man.
It was a fantastic chance. It really was. And even though he didn't score, like, it was, he got a huge round of applause for even attempting it at that stage. Do you know, in the before that happened, though, I actually think the introduction of Alfie and Ethan Ross, what a difference that made to just that last 10, 15 minutes, because the intensity just, it creeped up again. And Ethan, probably more so than Alfie, he was just so direct when he came on, wasn't he?
But they find out with Alfie coming on, he's direct, he noises up the defence up. Our defence would not be looking forward to Alfie coming on.
No.
The
effort for that guy was fantastic, wasn't it?
I was very surprised. I thought they might have started Raran Gary. I thought they might have started Alvey up through the middle on his own.
That was what we were talking about.
But then you had the biggest chance fell to Ryan Shanley, who could have made himself an absolute hero. Mm-hmm. Again, Sean Mackey doing well, flick on, and he's standing alone. He probably had time to take a touch on it and hit it, but he hit it on the volley, and it just went. And I was like, at that point, what are you thinking, boys?
At that point, you're thinking, God, it's been a long time since we've played out a game like this, and you kind of felt, we're just not going to win this. We're just not going to, it's done.
We were starting to think it's a case like the last game at Brockville. Here we go again.
I think going.
I never had a doubt, to be honest.
Very good. But I think everyone of a certain age who'd been to Brockville in that last game at Brockville was going in, because we're Falkirk supporters at the end of the day, and whatever. You know, that last game at Brockville was all geared up to this big celebration. It was a bit of a kind of damp squib because we got beat, the invincibility record at Brockville go that year. But it was all set up, though. Thank you, Andy Graham, for one, playing yourself,
and
putting your hand up. It was interesting, actually. I saw the Aloha Twitter went on and said it was never a handball.
They've retracted that in the commentary, though.
They've retracted it.
Put it this way, I think being an old keeper, I would have been proud of that.
Because obviously the Falkirk TV highlights aren't up yet, because all the Falkirk TV boys are clearly out on the lash, because the interview with McKinnon and the highlights, I had to watch the other highlights to remind myself of what I've watched. And they retracted it, but it was apparently every day of the week. You can't keep that high. And I know the other commentator said it was, you know, with the jump with Alfie forcing his hand up, but your hand can't be up there.
Yeah.
So just to clarify, are they suggesting that Alfie raised the guy's hand?
That is pretty much what they were suggesting. Saying he had nowhere to put his hand.
No.
Well, you could have put it down. There's plenty of places you can put your hand. Look, I'm doing it right now. You can put it up, you can put it down. That way. It's a very harsh commentator. So it's a very harsh. The whole stadium shout. I've never heard a handball shout like that, by the way, in the stadium. Everyone's a man, and you're just like, it was that moment, is the referee going to give it? And see when he pointed to the spot. Oh my God. Okay. What were your feelings when Brad Spencer stood up to take that penalty, boys?
Well, I was looking at my feet. I wasn't watching.
Yeah, we talked about this yesterday, Dougie. Did anybody watch it?
I did.
Did you watch it? I couldn't. I was like Dougie, I kind of looked away.
I was thinking about it. I need to polish my shoes or something like that.
I never normally watch them.
It was never going to miss it. There's no danger of Brad Spencer.
I agree, Ian. I don't think he was ever, like, if there's one player who I think I'd have been more nervous if Callum was taking it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was my immediate thought. As soon as he pointed the spot, I says, Callum's not on the pitch.
It
would have been Brad or Aidan. Brad, I think, with the captain's armband on, it's just taking the
situation.
Yeah. Right. I'll
just so calm, though. It's just so calm.
The thing that was getting to me was when the keeper started to move about, drink his water, and the ref had to go and speak to him again. So that's a further delay. I just think, one, Brad, nerves. that point. Head was down, that was me gone.
Yeah, I didn't. But what a roar when that flew into the net. Unbelievable.
It was honestly, it has to be up there with one of the best penalties ever. And every single one of his teammates and every single fan in that stadium, that penalty was the biggest penalty you'll see for an invincible season.
I was quite emotional when it went in, because you knew what it meant. You knew what it meant. And I think everybody had that feeling as well. Like, it wasn't just an equaliser. It was, there was
more. 100%.
There was more.
Well, see if you go forward 20 years, lads, when they're in the hospitality again, 20 years' time, Brad Spence will be back up as one of the former players, and you'll be talking about that penalty kick.
That's true.
That is what that penalty is.
You're right.
In hospitality in 20 years.
Definitely. And I mean, that was it. And then you just, like, I thought there was a weird thing happened. They took the ball boys off. And then,
I
don't know what, we're just sitting going, what the hell is going on here? Like,
we were talking to Jamie about that. So apparently it was a plan just before the end of the game to take the ball boys off for fear of pitch invasion or safety. And it wasn't intended. It just looked really, really bad to take them off as soon as we scored.
It's intended, and the message went out to take them off. And as the notice, as a penalty kick was taken, they were starting to move round. So it took them a couple of minutes to move round. So by the time that they restarted the centre after, they were all behind the north stand. So it started before the penalty kick.
Yeah.
Because the referee was then kind of held up play, and there was, I don't know if the referee was holding up to get the ball, because the ball always came back out. And then there was...
I
think that we're talking about it, as it seems to be the rule, as they agree what the ball boys will do, single ball, multi-ball, and you can't change it. Hence where the Chelsea women's game, they had that dispute with the two managers against Arsenal, because they tried to change it. So that's why you've got to keep that till the end. That's why the refs stopped the game.
I was very, everyone's like kind of going, what? I was like, is he looking for, because the ball went missing as well. It was like, Mark's drinking the champagne.
Can I just call out a ball boy though? I don't know if anybody else spotted this. So I was in the north stand yesterday with some family and a few of my mates because we needed some extra seats together. So I was at a weird view. It was a weird view for the game. Great for the penalty. Brilliant to see the penalty going in the postage stamp. But there was a ball boy at the northwest corner, right? And towards the end, Alloa were trying to kind of get the ball back. And he was doing that. Pulling it back from him. And
he did that a couple of times. And as he turned around and walked back into what we are, you can see the big smile on his face.
Well played. But at that point, it was just like, ball into the corner, everyone. Ball into the corner. By the way, can we just talk to the referee's stoppage time? There was more than the ref. Because it was really strange, because I saw John McGuinn as well. I was like, why are they letting people on there? Because it was just like, this is asking for it. Again, my omens are going through. Why are they letting people alongside the pitch? And I didn't understand that either. And I was like, what are you doing? Don't do this. And you can see John McGuinn telling everyone as well, get back.
And he's going back.
It was a strange one. I thought there's loads of injury time to play, but do you know what I did do? I think it forced the referee's hand just to go, oh, fuck, let's get up the road. Because
that was a case of there as well. They seen the linesman telling the managers 1 minute to go. At that point, the Alloa assistant manager went across and congratulated everybody down. And after that, it took another 3 or 4 minutes. We were still playing.
I thought it was a lot more injury time that should have been played. But hats off to the referee, because he just went, oh, fuck it, let's just get up the road. We're all happy. I was happy with a draw.
See that corner where Ross was talking about? There's a couple of wheelchairs came in, and they were revving up. Like a start of a Formula One, they were desperate to get on.
I saw somebody on the pitch with a wheelchair and a dog, and I was like, what is going on?
As we went down to the pitch, Pegasus Fox came up to clap the dog. censor dog. It's a case of they've seen the dog might say off.
Is that not an old joke?
The censor of the dog. I did love that.
Is that not an old joke from the 90s, Diggy? What's the difference between a dog and a fox? About 12
pounds. but what, I mean, let's talk through that feeling, Ross, of what was, I mean, you've had a really emotional weekend, so, and I know you're an emotional guy at the best of times as well.
Yeah, I was.
How did it feel? How did that feel?
It was amazing. The goal, the penalty was the catalyst of it. And then, yeah, it was, how brilliant was it seeing everybody on the park? And as you said before, at Montrose, pals, family, it was just amazing. Yeah, I'm actually starting to get a bit emotional now.
Yeah. Were you boys
We popped down.
Good. You managed to get rid of the prawn sandwiches and walk down from the piece of the valley down the stairs.
We finished the prawn sandwiches first and then.
but no, it was a really emotional one. You know, I was on the pitch and, you know, just all the players just swallowed up by the crowd and wee Finn Yeats was on top of somebody's shoulders. Yeah.
That's a fantastic picture they see in Pat and Bob Rob. Somebody's posted it on there, the whole crowd, and there's one player above on the shoulders, it's Vin Yates, and he's just loving it.
Yeah,
I saw that as well, Dougie. It was a fantastic picture. And there's another one as well where I think it was Ryan Shanley was on. Was it Sam Meldrum? Joke Meldrum's lad. And there's a picture of him on social media. And the faces of everybody around them, you can't buy that.
Yeah,
cannot buy it.
I mean,
there's quite a good video by one of the drone companies.
Yeah,
the drone must have been above the pitch, and you can actually see them maybe every just slowly, calmly walking right round, and see as soon as the ref blew, they're all on. It was great to see it.
Just, can you imagine if we'd scored when a winner? When the play, when the fans were standing at the side of the pitch, that would have been an insane.
Well, put it this way, I think it'll be like 6-6 with some friends across the border. We'd be in the same environment, I think.
It was, you know, an incredible moment, you know, one that will live, I think, in everyone's memories as Falkirk supporters. As I've said before, you know, for the younger support who have been through this horrendous 6 years that it has been, of being stuck down in this league, you know, and the kind of lows of when you look back at, you know, under Ray McKinnon, I mean, Lee and Cracks, you know, we love them dearly, but, you know, we were, you know, with that season, we threw it away.
Yeah.
Barry Holt coming in, Rennie, Sheeran, and then it's horrible when you go through it all, isn't it? But the last 2 years, you know, John McGlynn has to take so much credit
for
the job he's done, the team he's put together, and just bringing in. I said it, you know, at the night behind the wall, it's just not just for what happens within that stadium, but for the town and the community at large, what a difference this team has made to it.
Yeah,
I think what it's getting to me is also you see under Peter Houston, great days under Peter Houston. Sprinting Rangers and Hibs, they got fantastic last minute goals and everything we had there, the atmosphere. But in the end, you mind screaming with my son at the game, both of us actually loving it. But in the end, we never lifted a trophy. Realistically, we lifted a trophy. We're way older, we've seen semi finals for a club of our size, that we get to so many semi finals and finals at Hampden has been absolutely fantastic. The new generation coming through. Guys, teenagers in the early 20s. This is their, as you summed it up a couple of weeks ago, this is their Clyde Bank. It's a fantastic day for them just to see that trophy.
And I mean, it doesn't matter what league it is. It is League One, and people will always, I mean, I'm sure you've got Old Firm supporting friends and friends that support other teams. It's a farmer's league. It's, you're only playing junior sides, blah, blah, blah. I don't care whatever anyone says, going through a whole season of football, 36 games without a loss is an incredible achievement, no matter what league it is. It's unbelievable.
Did Rangers not get beat off Stirling Albion or something when they were in there?
I think they got through league. I think they got through League One invincible. But
they got through one of the divisions, yes, invincible. But
League Two, League Two in the Championship, I think they didn't do that one.
Yeah, but League One, they managed to do it in League One. But like Rangers are Rangers, and you know the fact that Falkirk have done this. I mean, the only team over a 30-plus game season, Kilmarnock over 18 games, but. Out with the Old Firm, it's the only time it has been done in Scotland. Yeah. Now, any supporter of any other team, you can go back to and go, well, yous haven't done it. You know what I mean? Yous didn't. Hearts were down in the Championship. Hearts have been, you know, Rangers have been down in the Championship. They couldn't do it. So, you know, all these teams that, you know, come around, you can't. It's just an incredible achievement. And as John McGuinn's alluded to, this team, these players, will forever be etched in, you know, one of the great Falkirk sides. I mean, I can still recount, you know, the reel off the team that under, you know, Ian McCall and Yogi, that brilliant team, the team that got to the 97 Cup final. You can reel off the names of these teams. You can go man for man with these teams. A team that won at Clyde Bank that day. This team, Nicky Hogarth, Leon McCann, Finn Yeats, Tom Lang, Col Donaldson, Liam Henderson, Brad Spencer, Aidan Nesbitt, Calvin Miller, Callum Morrison, and Ross McKeever. That's it.
Yeah.
And we'll find out for names for years to come.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And invincible. Everyone I saw last night and bumped into, I was just, every time I saw some, just raised the glass, to the Invincibles.
John, it's just not the Invincibles either. If you look at, it's been the joy on a Monday morning, walking into the office or walking to the place to work, seeing the Old Firm fans that say, like, look at the records, we're going for the Invincibles. Goals scored, best in Scotland. Goal difference, shutouts. It's all there.
Yeah.
And you can only do it against the guys in front of you.
How amazing would it be if John McGlynn gets his Manager of the Year award? Obviously, by the time this is out, we'll know if he's got it or not. I really hope. And I don't know if they're giving out the goal scorer award tonight as well for the across.
I think they are.
Oh, well, fantastic. So, Callum, I think he's got it then, hopefully, then, if he's got it in the scenario. So, yeah, just as John said, you'll remember these players for years and years. And Doogie, you said it as well. In 20 years' time, there'll be dinners, there'll be hospitality invites, there'll be the opening of the fourth stand, all this kind of stuff, right?
Callum Morrison stand, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. Well, listen, why not? Because the guy is on a his trend is that he's gonna do some amazing numbers that probably will only be compared to some of the other legends that we've talked about before.
Yeah,
and he'll be doing it in the Championship next season as well. Fantastic. Looking forward to next season already. And that's what we're all saying. It's like, just didn't want it to end. I just didn't want it to end. You know, it was sad walking away from the stadium yesterday going, oh God, it'll be another few months until we're back in here, and you're just want to go again, you know, and I'm like, come on, let's go, keep going.
Last podcast of the season as well.
Last podcast of the season as well, absolutely.
Yeah. I'll just give you more time to get in training for the 1st of June.
Don't you worry. I'm on it.
We've got the training camp at the Stennis Wheel Lido all geared up for us.
Superb. Listen, let's hear what everybody said about the game yesterday. Gavin kicks us off, said, miss Big Ross up top. Some of the deliveries in the first half were outstanding. Job done. Invincibles for life will never happen again. And Gavin had his wee girl there it was her birthday yesterday, so she was delighted as well.
I saw that picture. Because that's Gavin, who's been a pundit this season as well. Brilliant. Yvonne says, one of the best days to be a Falkirk fan. Memories made, history made. Looking forward to the Championship.
Yeah.
Craig says, should have won with the amount of chances we created, but can't complain. What a team, what a club. Double promotion, eyeball emoji.
Why not?
Yeah,
why not? Why not?
Yeah.
Adam
Burns, we'll have this discussion.
Fingers crossed. Adam says, when Brad Spencer's penalty went in, oh my days, we had enough chances to kill the game and we were unlucky not to win.
Yeah. Bob, what a day, what a season. The problem now, what are we going to do next Saturday? It's a good question. Oh, we're all going to have to spend time with the wives now, guys. I'm sorry. I said, oh, no. Because I, do you know what? I was saying that to my wife, Siobhan. I was like every time, even how she gets it, because usually we know we'll get in trouble. She goes, I get it. This weekend, just go and do it. And I think everyone understands, because it's been that whole way. And I don't know if you're like me, when you walk in on a Saturday after the game, your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend can tell exactly how the rest of the Saturday night is going to be. It's you know, I can't believe he did that, or the keeper did this or that. But this season, I've walked in every Saturday, oh, what was the result today? Oh, we won. And it's just been this constant. She goes, what's happening? And it's just been like that.
Seen that this year, where the last two or three years it's been a case of coming in, why do they go back? This year, where the TV games, we have been TV friendly, the TV games is, they're sitting down in front of the TV, even the mother-in-law is sitting in front of the TV, I all got some telly. So you can see the difference. There's a difference to the town.
Yeah. Absolutely. And see how you've just hit the nail on the head, Dougie. See, because of how bad the last 4 or 5 years has been, I've enjoyed this one even more than I probably would have had it just been a regular, oh yeah, we went unbeaten. Like, see if you'd been doing well anyway. I don't think you'd appreciate, and I'm not saying I want to go through 4 or 5 years of shite to have another week. this winning habit, and I know we joked now, Craig said it, there's this winning habit will continue, in my opinion, and I think we'll go on and do really well next year. Yeah. And I'm sure a Dunfermline fan will watch this back and bookmark it and say, ha ha, you didn't. But why not?
Enjoy it.
We are going to have to get used to getting beat at some point, though, by the way. We're not going to have this invincibility next season. We'll have to get beaten at some point. But hopefully
we said that this year. We said that this year, didn't we?
That's true. That is.
Do you know, to an extent, that's my worry about next season? Is how fans and everybody else reacts when we have a bad result. But yesterday, we went 2-0 down, and those ultras banged the drums even harder and sang even louder. And if we can just keep doing that, the way forward.
Yeah, you're here. Totally agree. Colin says, not the best game in all honesty, but we somehow got the job done. If I live to be 100, I'll probably never see another invincible season. However, he has put in brackets, I'd happily be wrong.
Well, just an incredible day to finish this season unbeaten in a week. It's quite simply ridiculous. I've loved every minute of this season. I'm gutted it's now finished. Now let's go back to back. Yeah.
Yeah. See, you're coming. You're getting involved with this now as well.
Well, put this way, Livingston done it. Why not us?
That's very true. Laura says, we'll never see the likes again. Been following the team since the mid-70s. I've seen attendances at Brockville at about 250 a game. Some highs, more than our fair share of lows over the years, but this is the best feeling ever.
Isn't it just? Finally, Westie finishes up with unbeaten, unstoppable, invincible Falkirk FC.
There we go.
Yeah.
Right, okay, do you know what? I'm going to give a Falkirk Dafty this week. I'm not going to give it. The sponsors get it.
Guy is great. The guy is we've done a lot of deals with this person there. He's a fantastic guy, but he's a Dafty, listen to it.
Yeah, so did you spot at the very start Finn had the wrong boots on?
Yes,
did you see that? That's like the kit man.
Kit man.
So my Falkirk Dafty this week is kit man Chris McGarry.
Big time Chris is getting Falkirk Dafty. Big time. Right, there you go, Chris. Big time Chris. Chris and quip there.
Lovely fella, but he's a Dafty of the
week. Right, Chris McGill, the Falkirk Dafty of the week, mate. I'm sorry about that. Thanks for all your help at the podcast on Friday night. But you're Dafty of the week. It's been the boy. The sponsors have told us. They pay the back. I'm sorry. Right, we go to a Falkirk Daft rated player for yesterday. Then Ross, who are you going for?
Purely for the moment that it was such an emotional moment. Brad Spencer.
Boys, let's go with Mark first.
Absolutely.
Can't be anybody other than Brad. Just that one kick of the ball. I mean, he played well the whole game. I mean, he ran the show in the midfield, but to stand up and have the guts to do that for your teammates, for your fans, for your club, for your town.
I think that towards the end of the game, a spat between Spencer and Nesbitt, but a penalty kick sways up to Spencer.
Ian, you
left the steal.
Yeah, Brad Spencer for Ian as well, then.
Yeah, Brad, absolutely. Same reasons. Again, it would have been close with Aidan. I think Aidan's man of the match was well deserved, but just for standing up and taking that penalty.
So, you know, Brad Spencer is the Falkirk Daft rated player of the season, of the game yesterday. Brilliant. Well, listen, gents, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on again. We really appreciate what you do. And the support you give us, and we're really looking forward. 1st of June at the Falkirk Stadium. Keep an eye out on our socials. We're going to have, I was talking to Ian yesterday about the best way of raising money for the game. We're going to do that. Keep your eyes out for that. We'd love to see as many Falkirk Daft listeners down to support the Falkirk Daft team versus the Falkirk football fans in training. It's going to be a good game. We'll all be knackered, but we'll go up to the pub afterwards.
And if they just want to keep it going, get them down as well. Just want to come down, keep it ticking over the full season, 1st of June.
Absolutely.
Or even 25th of May as well.
Yeah.
Very true.
Absolutely. Well, listen, we're looking forward to it, guys, and thank you for coming on the podcast today. And if you want to come on next season, we'd love to have you on as well. Drop us a DM on our Twitter, Facebook, or you can email us pundit@falkirkdaft.co.uk.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Well, that's it for Falkirk Daft for the season, Ross. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's been a brilliant one, mate. It really has. Obviously, we started this last year when the team was, well, not expected to do that well. We did. We made massive progress on and off the field last year. Yeah. But I just think I'm actually glad in hindsight we didn't go up last summer. And I know that sounds maybe a daft thing to say, but we wouldn't have had this season we went up. And it has been special. So, yeah. Brilliant.
Absolute special season and just unbelievable. You know, when you look back at the season, Ross, what were you take away from it? What were your favourite moments? I mean, for me, God, there's so many you could pinpoint. It's been so good. You know that Morrison, the Brad Spencer, I keep going back to the Brad Spencer Queen of South. For me, that was a pivotal moment because that was when I started going, right, this is a different Falkirk. This is a different made Falkirk from what it has been. The Cal Morrison goal as well against Montrose, one of the thorns in our side in this league, and to pull that out to win the game 3-2. I think just Hamilton away, which I missed, but you know, the Hamilton away game, that was a very, very important moment. I think Paul Smith and the extra podcast that we put out this week, which you can still check out, and we spoke to Paul and John, he kind of earmarked that. I think Alloa away, that team goal and bringing in Dylan Tate in the January transfer window, like, it's just been moment after moment. And obviously Montrose was just fantastic. Yeah. It was just what an incredible day. And then yesterday, it's just been so good.
You're absolutely spot on, mate. It's just, we've had so, so many big moments this year. It would be impossible, actually, to list them all because we've had so many big moments, even within games as well, haven't we? I agree with you, though. Like, the Brad Spencer goal, Queen of the South, the Brad Spencer goal away to Stirling, that swung it for us there as well. Callum's goal. The Hamilton away game was just... It was a marker that needed put down. And, you know, you've mentioned a game there that wouldn't have came to mind had you not mentioned it. the Alawa away game at the end of January with Dylan.
When we had that defeat to Bonnie Rigg Rose in the Edinburgh draw.
Yeah, that was such a, like, because that was a, and if we're being really honest, that was a real kind of shite 2 or 3 weeks, because we had Bonnie Rigg, we had the TNS game as well, and it was all moments that you thought, are we at Edinburgh away? Was a, obviously a draw, but it was a tough, tough game that we should have won. But that period, that Alawa game, just it felt like it kind of stuck a pin in that potential problem.
Yeah,
and we kicked on again, and then the Ackies again, the Ackies home game.
Oh, you know, up in half an hour, yeah. It's like, wow, yeah. it was unbelievable. But it's just been, I mean, like you say, and it's a hard thing to say. It's like, I'm glad we actually didn't go up last season, because we wouldn't have had this. Wouldn't have had this moment. The picture's behind me. You know, we might not have the players that we've got into this team now. And now with this team, I think we all see the potential to in the Championship with, you know, the boys that are in that team and the boys that are signed up on longer term deals, Calvin, Callum, you know, and I list off the names, Brad Spencer, you know, Finn's just signed on. It's going to be really exciting. If we were talking about the rumours and the names that potentially come around and enhance that team, like I said to you, I think it'll be 2 or 3 signings and that'll be it. There'll be a goalkeeper, there'll be a centre back, and I think there'll be an experienced player. If the McKenna rumours are true, that'll come in.
I agree, but I totally agree. 3-4 max. You never know. Obviously, if we have outgoings that we're not aware of yet, so like Jordan Allen, will he stay? Will he be going? That could create maybe another opportunity there as well. But yeah, just a special, special season. Like I'll need to go back to whatever episode it was in July or August this year or last year when I said the only team that will kind of cock it up for us is us. I remember saying it. I can't remember what context or what episode.
Yeah,
it was just, you just had that early feeling. And even someone who is traditionally a bit of a moaner at times, although he backs his team tremendously, but he's got a voice on him, is Brian Stewart from...
Oh, don't start me on Brian Stewart.
I'm sure he chinned you.
He chinned me yesterday as soon as I walked into Elliot's after the game. He spotted me and he absolutely came for me and said, "Told you, John, told you." And I was like, "Oh, yes, Brian, but you're right."
It's insane that even back in August, people thought, including Brian, thought, we could go this season without losing a game, and we joked about it, we talked about it, but as the season grew, you just got that feeling, well, actually, this might happen.
Yeah, and it has, and it's like you said, this weekend, this season, it'll just go down as one of the best as a Falkirk supporter, and you'll never see the likes again. You hope you would, but you'll never see the likes again unless we lift the Scottish Cup trophy. Or the League Cup trophy, you know, it's just an unforgettable season. And then next season, we've got the Championship to look forward to. Hope I'm going to return some nice little away games. By the way, I was delighted that Queen's Park stayed up, because a wee trip to Glasgow and Hampden is going to be delightful next season. Really looking forward to that. Some of the great wee away days. Here's always a great wee away day. Not been there in a few years. Obviously, we're going there this season. But yeah, a wee Saturday down in Ayr. We're going to have, I'm assuming, we'll be covered quite a lot on the BBC as well. So that's going to be half seven Friday night kickoff time as well, which should be good, make for some good nights as well. It's really exciting. And especially with this team that we have on the park at the moment, it's going to be an exciting course season, and certainly we're looking forward to the Championship next season as well.
Indeed. Can't wait. Genuinely can't wait.
Listen, thank you. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We really appreciate you watching us. So many, like, behind the wall on Friday night was just incredible. When we started this a couple of seasons ago, to get to the point that 200 people in less than 24 hours we'd sold out behind the wall, and we can now put our name up beside Ash, and people came on and listened to our nonsense on Friday night. I made the joke that's like, I can't believe he's paid 50 quid to see this. What, he's idiots? And I said that at the start of the night. But yeah, we're going to do it again. If you missed out on the chance, we're definitely going to do it again. I'm thinking Christmas party, Falkirk Daft Christmas party, midway through.
That's a good shout. Yeah, that's a good idea.
There might be another couple of opportunities. Maybe before they've done Fairmont games, maybe it might be quite nice to do something. But we will find out. Keep your watching the space. As we say, this is the last podcast of the season. But keep your ears and eyes out. During the summer, we're going to drop a couple of kind of special podcasts. We're going to try and select your all-time Falkirk favourites, starting at goalkeeper, left back, centre halves, and we'll drop them in from time to time across the summer, just so you've got your Falkirk Daft fix. Because so many people came up and John was really, really nice yesterday. So many people came up to me and said, "Oh, love the podcast, John." And what was really nice was, it's like, it gets me through this drive. I drive from here to there, and, you know, and I listen to it, or, you know, I sit down and watch it in the bath or whatever. You know, it was just really, really nice to hear back that people actually enjoy listening to our shite. So that's talking shite about Falkirk for an hour and 20 minutes. So, but yeah, thank you to each and every one of you for the support across the season. Thanks, obviously, to our sponsors, Haldane, at the start of the season, and now Falkirk Football Fans and Training. Get down to the Lava Cup and keep your eyes out for the Falkirk Football Fans and Training versus the Falkirk Daft team. We'll be selecting our team very soon. And I think I want to know, it's the last podcast, so I'll say we're hopefully having star of Two Doors Down, Scott's squad, and professional wrestler who just wrestled at Wembley last year, Mr. Graham Steveley, Grado, will be hopefully in the goals for the Falkirk Daft team. My friend Shellsuit Bob from River City, Stephen Purden, is going to be pulling the strings in midfield. Young Christopher Toll, you'll know him probably as Tam Spraggins in Scott's squad. He's going to put cakes on his granny's grave. Chris Toll is going to be our assistant manager. Ewan Cameron, I've invited to be our main manager. And I was speaking to my friend yesterday. We have got an ex-pro playing for us as well. Former Falkirk player and current Queen of the South, Queen's Park assistant manager, Liam Craig, might be putting the boots on for the Falkirk Daft Live team. And I might have one or two more signings up my sleeve as it goes. But we'll be doing that at the 1st of June, so keep your eye out on the socials. Love to see you down there on the day as well. So that'd be great. We're going to raise money for charity as well.
We are. Can't wait for that one. That'll be good. That'll be a right laugh. And if it helps raise some money for a couple of brilliant charities, then even better as well.
Yeah, great. Great. Well, listen, thank you for your support, Ross. Thank you so much for helping me out with the podcast this season. It's been great.
It has, mate. I love doing it. We talk about this all the time. And just as you said, it's amazing the amount of people. We probably don't take it. Well, we definitely don't take it for granted, but the amount of people that come up to us on a weekly basis, and yesterday was insane, the amount of people that come up to us and talk about the podcast, or Friday night as well, is amazing that so many people love watching it or listening to us as well. And and as long as that's the case, we'll keep doing it.
We'll see you in the Championship next season. One last time, Ross.
Expect unexpected, everybody. The Invincibles.